morning, church. I'm Brandon Travis. I'm one of the members here at Life Point. It's my pleasure to read scripture along with you this morning. Our passage this morning comes from Galatians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1, so if you have your Bibles, please open and turn with me. And when I finished with verse 14, you're going to hear me say, "This is the word of the Lord," as affirmation that these are indeed the true words of God. If you believe that to be true this morning, it'll be on the screen. Please respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the name of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Church, this is the word of the Lord. You can be seated.
Well, good morning, church. Thank you, Brandon. Church, if you don't know me, my name is Ray Levy. I'm one of the pastors here at Life Point. I do a lot of things around here. I wear a lot of different hats. One of the things I occasionally do is preach, but I'm also facilitating our groups ministry at the moment. As Pastor John talked about before, we're really excited about groups starting up in this new season of groups. If you're not part of a group yet, I want to encourage you after the service, just in the hub, please sign up for a group. That's going to be crucially important for you and your spiritual growth. So I just want to kind of say that just before we kind of get into things this morning. Well, church, I came across a bit of a story. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a Reddit user. Does anyone know Reddit? Anyone use Reddit? Couple of hands, any hands? Yeah, okay, I see a couple of sheepish hands going up. And one of the stories, one of the things that came up was a story about an apartment building in Shanghai. In 2009, a tragedy occurred that shocked both residents and engineers. There was nearly completed a 13-story apartment building, and it was called the Lotus Riverside Complex. It had been constructed well, been constructed with care. Its foundation was solid, and the structure was sound. Everything looked perfect from the outside, but something went terribly wrong. As construction workers began to build an underground garage next to the building, they needed to move all the dirt they were digging up somewhere. They needed to move it somewhere. But rather than disposing of it carefully, they took a shortcut and they put that dirt right next to the building. Over time, the extra weight from that dirt caused the building's foundation to shift. And then in one moment, this 13-story apartment complex collapsed, falling entirely on its side. And we should be able to see an image of that just there. You see, the building itself, You can see the building is kind of relatively intact. The building itself wasn't the problem. It was the choices made around it. The foundation, which had been laid so carefully, couldn't handle the additional burden placed on it by something that didn't even belong there. The dirt shouldn't have even been there. Now think about that for a moment. Something solid and sure, a foundation built to support a whole structure like we can see here. It ended up failing. Not because it wasn't strong enough on its own, but because something unnecessary was added to it. Doesn't that sound familiar? In today's passage in Galatians 3, Paul is addressing a similar kind of collapse, but this one is spiritual. You see, the Galatians, as we've been hearing over the previous number of sermons, they started their journey in Christ with a strong foundation, faith in the gospel. But over time, they began to pile something unnecessary on top of it. They started believing they needed to follow the works of the law to maintain or perfect their faith. And just like that building in Shanghai, they were at risk of collapsing under the weight of something that they were never meant to carry. Paul's message to them in Galatians 3, 1-14, as Brandon read out to us, is simple. It is simple. Do not add anything to what Christ has already completed. Faith is our foundation. And nothing else can strengthen or improve what's already solid, sure, and secure in Him. And today, as we walk through this passage, we're going to see that Paul builds his argument around three main ideas, three key testimonies. First testimony is the testimony of the Spirit, and we see that in the first part, in verses 1 to 5. And then we're going to see the testimony of Scripture, or of the Word, which is in verses 6 to 9. And then we're going to see the testimony of the cross, which is in verses 10 to 14. But each of these points drives home one core truth today. We are saved by faith alone and not by works of the law. Okay? We are saved by faith alone and not by works of the law. So let's begin with our first testimony, the testimony of the Spirit. Now, Paul begins by reminding the Galatians of their own experience with the Holy Spirit. He asked them a rhetorical question in verse 2. He says, "Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Well, the answer is obvious, right? The answer is quite obvious. They received the Spirit by faith, not by works. When Paul had first preached the gospel to them, they believed, and immediately they received what? They received the Holy Spirit. And Paul is stunned. He's stunned that after beginning their Christian life by the Spirit, they now think they could complete it by the flesh, by their own efforts, by their own works. He says in verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" It's almost as if they've forgotten what the Spirit of God has already done in their lives. They've forgotten it. They started off well by faith, but now they're being drawn back in to legalism, thinking they can achieve righteousness by their own works, by observing the law. Paul uses the word foolish here. He calls them foolish. Hey, he doesn't mean this as like an insult. He's like, "You fools." He's not saying that as an insult, but as a wake-up call. He's shaking them out of kind of like their spiritual slumber. This reminds me of my son. He's 6 years old, go into his bedroom in the morning, trying to wake him up. Jonathan, wake up, wake up. I don't shake him that hard, but, you know, trying to wake him up. He's so deep in his sleep sometimes that you kind of do have to shake him a little bit. You know, the Greek word here is onietos, which means lacking understanding. Why does he use that? Well, he means they're missing the point of the gospel. They're being tricked into thinking that salvation is something that they need to finish on their own. Okay, God, you let me in the door, you've given me faith, but I need to finish this on my own here. It's as if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wasn't enough. You know, Paul's questioning it continues in verses 4 and 5, and he kind of probes deeper into the Galatians' experience. Up on the screen it says this: did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? See, here Paul is referring to the difficulties and the trials that the Galatians had already experienced in their journey of faith. They likely suffered for their new faith in Christ, perhaps facing persecution from their former religious communities, or possibly even facing that persecution from their families. Paul asked them, was all of that in vain? Were all the hardships they endured for nothing if they are now turning back to the very system that could never save them? You know, the word suffer here can also mean experience, which kind of broadens the scope of the verse. Paul could be referring not to just their suffering, but also to the entirety of the Christian experience, to our highs and to our lows, the miracles and the struggles. Paul, whether he's talking about the persecution or the broader experience of walking with Christ, his point is the same. Everything they've gone through in their faith journey would be meaningless if now they're trying to revert back and try and be justified by the law. See, Paul's concern here isn't just theological, but it's deeply pastoral. He's urging them, don't waste your experiences with Christ. Don't waste your faith in Christ by trying to earn your salvation. Isn't this a warning for us as well? We often start our walk with Christ by faith. Think about when you were first saved and you're on fire for the Lord and you're so excited. This is all new to you. You're thankful that it's not because of anything that you have done, but what he has done. But then we fall into the trap of thinking that we need to add something onto it. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to turn up here. I need to go to this. We need to be good. I need to be perfect. Extra works. We think that that secures our place with God. But Paul reminds us that we've all experienced in Christ the miracles, the Spirit's presence. All these things come from faith. They come from faith, not by law keeping. And our spiritual life is sustained the same way. It began by faith. And that same faith that saved us continues to work in us, bringing God's power and presence into our lives. We don't move, folks. We don't move from faith to works. Okay, now I think I got this faith thing. Now I need to do my part. That's not how it works. No, church, we remain in faith. Paul's message is simple. The Christian life isn't about earning God's favor or rules. It's about living by faith. the Spirit by faith in Christ. And the Spirit's presence in your life is proof that you are saved by faith, not by works. And he will sustain you to the end. So then Paul, kind of in his discourse here, he then moves to a second testimony here in the scripture. He moves to the testimony from the word, from scripture. Now he knows that some of the Galatians are being influenced by false teachers, as by the circumcision party or Judaizers, as we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, who were telling them that in order to be fully accepted by God, they needed to adopt some of those Jewish practices, things like ceremonial cleansing, things like circumcision, things that were adherence to Moses' law, the Mosaic law. And to counter this, Paul is quite like ingenious. The Holy Spirit inspired him, in his argument, he goes to the very scriptures that the Jewish peoples would have held so dear. So he goes straight to the scriptures, showing them that righteousness is and always has been by faith. Even from the time of Abraham, the great patriarch, the forefather of their faith. In verse 6, Paul quotes from Genesis 15:6. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him, or counted to him, as righteousness. See, this is a foundational verse in understanding the doctrine, okay, the doctrine of justification by faith. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, was declared righteous, not because he kept the law, because the law, after all, was brought into the Jewish people only a couple of hundred years later, but because Abraham believed in what? God's promise. And what was that promise? Well, in Genesis 12, we see that God promised Abraham that he would make him into a great nation, and that he would bless him, and that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham believed this promise, and it was credited to him, counted to him as righteousness. Now, why does Paul bring this up? Well, it's because the false teachers here were trying to convince the Galatians that they needed to follow this law of Moses to be part of God's family. But Paul reminds them that Abraham's relationship with God was based on faith, not the law that was introduced much later. In fact, the law didn't even exist when Abraham was justified. The point is clear. If Abraham was the great patriarch, if he was the one that they looked to as the progenitor of their faith, if he was declared righteous by faith, then we too are declared righteous if we believe by faith. Paul goes even further in verses 8 and 9 to show that this promise to Abraham wasn't just for his physical descendants, the Jewish people, but for all who would share his faith. He writes, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you all the nations be blessed.'" Paul is saying that the good news of justification by faith was preached even to Abraham, and that this blessing was not limited to the Jewish people. See, it was always God's plan. It was always God's plan. He did not change his plan. It was always God's plan to include the Gentiles, people like you, people like me. I don't think there's anyone in this room that probably has a Jewish background. So we are likely all Gentiles. It's always God's plan. People like the Galatians, who were mostly Gentiles, and people like you and me through faith in Christ. That was always God's plan. And the key here is that the scriptures testify to the fact that salvation has always been by this way. From the very beginning, God's plan has been to justify people through faith, not through the law. The promise to Abraham was fulfilled in Christ. And it extends to all who believe, Jew and Gentile alike. You know, I was kind of thinking about this as I was writing this sermon this week. And I was kind of thinking, you know, of something that could really describe how the Galatians are acting in this way. And I was thinking, like, imagine someone who had this enormous debt, like enormous debt. I've got some student debt at the moment that sometimes it feels like it's enormous. I'm never going to pay it off. But this is a debt that they could never pay off in one lifetime. It might be millions, billions. Then one day they receive news that the entire debt has been forgiven. It's been wiped clean. It's been taken care of. They're free. You are free. You do not have to pay this debt anymore. But instead of celebrating, they go out each day and work to continue to try and pay off that debt, as if they could ever repay that amount that has just been forgiven. But this is what we do, isn't it? This is what we do when we believe that after being justified by faith, we still need to pay off our salvation by following rules or relying on our own efforts. But Paul is saying that Abraham's righteousness was credited to him by faith. It wasn't something he earned. It wasn't something that Abraham worked for. It wasn't because Abraham was someone special. It was freely given by God, just as our salvation is. So what does this mean for us? It means that our standing before God, it's not based on our ability to complete works or keep the law or follow a set of religious duties. It's based on faith in Christ. Just as Abraham's righteousness was based on faith in God's promises. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation testifies to this. We are saved by faith, not by works. And the third testimony here, as Paul kind of builds his argument, is the third testimony is he brings forward the testimony of the cross. The cross. And this is where Paul makes his strongest argument against relying on the law for salvation. And he begins this by quoting from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 27:26, which says this. It says, "Cursed be everyone," or anyone, "who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." What Paul is doing here, by quoting this verse, is reminding the Galatians and us that the law demands perfect. The law demands perfect obedience. I mean, it's not just like not just pretty close, not just like 99% or whatever. No, perfect, 100% all the time. If you fail in one part, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. This is the curse that Paul says, the curse of the law. It sets a standard that no one can meet, as hard as we try. And I think we do try. We will always fall short. Think about that. No matter how many good deeds you do, maybe you kind of let someone in as you're driving here this morning, you've got a car in front of you. My good deed for today. No matter how much you strive to follow the rules, the law stands as a reminder that you can never be perfect. And because of this, it condemns us. It puts us under a curse. But here's the good news. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? How did he do that? By becoming a curse for us. In verse 13, Paul writes this. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself the curse that was meant for us. It was meant for us. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He did that by fulfilling the law in every way. In every way, ways that we could not do, he fulfilled. And yet he willingly became a curse for us by dying on the cross. The curse that we deserve for breaking God's law was placed on Jesus, and he took the punishment so that we could be set free. We could be set free. This is the heart of the gospel. This is at the very core of the gospel. That Jesus didn't just take our sins. He didn't just take our sins. He became a curse in our place. The cross wasn't just a symbol of suffering. It was a place where the full weight of God's wrath that was meant for us was poured out onto him. He received it in our place. And because Jesus took that curse upon himself, we are no longer under the curse of the law. He took that curse from us, so we're no longer under that curse. We are free now. Church, we have been set free. Paul explains this in verse 14. He says, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing, not the curse, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. See, Jesus didn't just free us from the curse, he made it possible for us to receive the blessing that was promised to Abraham. The curse has been taken, it has been paid for, and now we receive the blessing that was deserved, well, that was given, I should say, to Abraham. That blessing is what? Church, it's the Holy Spirit. The blessing is the one that we receive by faith, that we are now in Christ, not by works, not by following rules, not by trying to earn it, but by faith alone. So here's the final testimony. Christ crucified is the ultimate proof that we are saved by faith, not by works. If righteousness could be achieved by the law, then Christ's death was all for nothing. If we could have earned it, then Christ died for nothing. His death was in vain. But we know that that's not the case. We know that. Christ's death on the cross was necessary because the law could never save us. Only faith in his finished work can. You see, the testimonies of the Spirit, of the Word, of Christ, they all point to one truth. Church, we are saved by faith alone. This is one of the great catch cries of the Reformation, faith alone. Paul has taken us through these three testimonies to drive home one thing, that freedom comes from the gospel. Not slavery, but freedom. You see, freedom through the gospel. See, the Spirit reminds us that we began our Christian life by faith, not by works. And the moment we believed, folks, the moment you believed, we received the Holy Spirit, not because of our works, but because of our faith in him. See, the Word shows us that from the very beginning, God's plan has been to justify his people by that faith. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, was declared righteous because he believed God's promises, not because of anything he did. And the cross is the final testimony, because Christ's death on the cross is the ultimate proof. It is the proof that we are saved by faith. The law could never save us. And if it could, Christ's death would have been in vain. But we know that's not the case, because only his finished work can save us. This is the freedom we have in Christ. We don't have to strive to earn God's favor. Folks, we don't have to live under the crushing weight of a supposed goodness, of the law, of our works, constantly wondering, am I good enough? Do I make it? Do I make it in? Christ has done it all. He has fulfilled the law. He has taken the curse that was deserved for us. And he has given us his Spirit. All we have to do is believe. That's all we have to do. So today, if you're sitting here and you've been trying to earn your way into God's favor, maybe you're being living under this burden of, am I good enough? Well, I want you to hear the good news of the gospel. Jesus has already done the work. He's already done the work. You don't need to carry that weight anymore. You don't need to pile anything more on top of that solid foundation to make it more secure, more sure. It is already secure. It is already sure. In fact, adding things onto it makes the foundation unsure, as we saw just before with the building. It makes it crumble under the weight. See, you are not under a curse. You are free. You're free. All you need to do is put your faith in him. So let's take a moment to examine our hearts. Let's be specific. What are we trying to do to earn God's love? Where are we striving instead of trusting in faith? You know, maybe you're being caught in the trap of perfectionism. Maybe you're constantly feeling like you're falling short, like you need to do more to earn God's approval. Whether you think it's how well you're parenting, maybe it's your work performance. Maybe it's how often you're reading the Bible or praying. If you feel like you need to be perfect to be loved by God, it's time to lay that burden down. Maybe you're holding on to guilt from past sins. Maybe there's something that happened in your past that haunts you over and over and over. And any time you get a moment of silence, it's all you can think about. Maybe you feel like you need to make up for it before God will truly accept you. You've repented, but you still feel unworthy. You still think you need to fix your relationship with God. Well, here it is. Jesus has already paid the price in full. He's already paid the price in full. You are forgiven. Maybe you've been serving in the church or doing good works, but somewhere along the way, it became about proving your worth to God and to other people. It's easy for us to turn our service into striving. And before we know it, we're doing things not out of love and joy, but out of obligation. Well, I'm rostered. I better turn up this Sunday. You know, I got to do my thing. I don't want to let other people down. But you don't need to prove yourself. Christ's work is enough. Should we serve? Yes, absolutely. But we don't earn our worth to God and to other people. Perhaps you're struggling with legalism. You're checking off the boxes in your spiritual life, thinking that the rules will make you righteous. If your faith has become a list of do's and don'ts, well, it's time to return to the simplicity of the gospel. Christ has fulfilled the law. Your salvation isn't about rule keeping. It's about trusting him. Maybe you're constantly looking at your failures, your lack of progress, and you're wondering if God still loves you. But remember, his love for you isn't based on your performance. It's based on what Jesus has already done. Paul's message is clear. You are saved by faith. You began by the Spirit, and you are sustained by the Spirit. The Word of God points to the faith from the beginning, and the cross of Christ testifies of our salvation that is complete in him. And as we respond to this passage today, we need to lay down our striving. We need to lay down our guilt. We need to lay aside our fears of not measuring up. We need to repent of the areas where we've been trying to rely on our own strength, on our own abilities. We've trusted in our own work, instead of fully trusting in Jesus. Church, we need to rest in the fully completed work of Christ because he has done it. So as we finish, I want to leave you with two questions. These are two personal questions that I want you not to just kind of, as I say them, think about it and be like, okay, that was great, I'm out. But maybe reflect on them in your own life. Maybe you want to write them down in your phone. Maybe you've got something there that you can write, jot this down on. But I want you to reflect on this week, because I think this is what Galatians, this passage is really calling us to, what it's asking us to do. I want us to reflect. Here's the first question. Where are you trying to carry a burden that Christ has already taken? I'm going to say that again. Where are you trying to carry a burden that Christ has already taken? Remember, he's already taken it for you. He's already fully completed the work. And the second question is, where are you trying to add to the work that Christ has already finished? Where are you trying to add to the work that Christ has already finished? I'm going to invite the band to come up. And as we come to the cross today, I'm going to ask you, lay down your fears. Lay down your striving. Lay down your attempts to earn what has already been given. Christ has done it all. You have been set free. Church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Lord, we have a great message today. We have a great gospel message that we heard. Lord, what liberation, what freedom we have in your gospel, knowing that we as sinful and perfect people, people that could never measure up to the perfect standard that your law demands, Lord, that we don't have to. Lord, knowing that it's not by our works, it's not by the actions that we take, it's not by us following these impossible standards that we are in you or we are come to you, Lord, but through Christ and Christ alone. Lord, it is through your death on the cross, the death that you died in our place, not just taking on our sins, but becoming a curse for us, the very curse that we deserved, Lord. You took it upon yourself so that we might receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that you might live in us, that we might be set free. Lord, I pray that today, for all of us, we all have a next step from this. Whether it's we've never known you before, and we need to set aside our sinfulness, we need to set aside our pride and come to you. Lord, whether we are already in you but are trying to further perfect our faith by doing works that don't make us any more righteous, Lord, I pray that we can set aside those things and come to you, knowing that it is by faith alone that we are saved. It's by trusting in the name, the whole name of Jesus, that we are saved. And that believing in you is enough for salvation. It is enough for eternal life. And what a blessing that is in Christ. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name.